Now bless the God of all, who in every way does great things, who exalts our days from birth and deals with us according to his mercy. May he give us gladness of heart and grant that peace may be in our days in Israel as in the days of old. May he entrust to us his mercy and let him deliver us in our days. The scripture reading this morning is John 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the marriage with his disciples. When the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." So they took it. When the steward of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did in Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This morning, I want to ask a very strange and perhaps a controversial question. That question is, was Jesus married? Was Jesus married? There is a book by that title that came out a few years ago. And even more surprising is the conclusion to which that book came. The conclusion was, yes, Jesus was married. The argument goes something like this. Most Jewish men in Jesus' day were married. It was taught as a social and religious responsibility. And in absence of any evidence to the contrary, we may assume that Jesus, like most other men of his day, was married, even though the New Testament tells us nothing about his wife or possible children. Well, why should anyone tackle such a taboo question? The subtitle of the book gives a clue to the answer. The subtitle is, "The Distortion of Sexuality in the Christian Tradition." And the author argues that the sinless Jesus, perpetually virgin, has become the model of righteousness. And in contrast to him, the Christian tradition has all too often equated sex and sin. With the purpose of the book, I can heartily agree. That is, to develop a wholesome theology of sex. But I cannot accept the basis, namely, that Jesus himself was married. I see this as but one more attempt to make the historical Jesus conform to the norms and expectations of religion and society. Well, by now you're probably asking, then why ask such an academic question in the first place? My answer, in order to ask a very practical question. The question of the relationship between marriage and ministry, and particularly the question of single men in ministry. Strange, isn't it, that the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church have given diametrically opposed answers to this question. If you want to be a Catholic priest, then you had better not get married if you expect to remain in the priesthood. If you want to be a Protestant minister, then you better had get married if you expect to be called to a church. I'm convinced that the person most discriminated against in the ministry today is the woman, be she married or single. I'm also convinced that the person next most subject to discrimination is the single man, be he not married or never married. And as an aside, I wonder just how old I will have to be before I stop answering the question, why are you not married, and have to start answering the question, why have you never married? The single minister, be he unmarried, be he divorced, be he widowed, is subject to a discrimination in the ministry second only to the discrimination against women. Now, you women will have to fight your own battle. I'll gladly join you. This morning, I'm going to fight my own. Perhaps the best way of doing that would be to give you some examples of effective single ministers. I could tell you about a few single men I know in the ministry. I could tell you about the Roman Catholic clergy through the centuries, though I'm not sure how much weight that argument would carry with you. Instead, I've decided to tell you about several single ministers in the Bible, because I think that argument does carry some weight with you. Well, now I'll admit that I had to look long and hard to come up with anybody, and I've only discovered an obscure Old Testament prophet by the name of Jeremiah, and a virtually unknown New Testament apostle by the name of Paul, and, in my opinion, someone by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Let's look at Jeremiah. It's a well-known fact that the prophet Hosea's ministry and marriage were intimately related, and that whatever the details, his taking a wife and having children was a parable of Yahweh's relationship to Israel. It is hardly known at all that Jeremiah's not marrying and not having children was also a parabolic action in response to a command from the Lord. Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons and daughters in this place." And Jeremiah goes on to describe the terrible fate which awaits the fathers and mothers and children of the nation of Judah in the final days of its destruction. John Patterson, in commenting on this passage, writes, "In a land where custom had the force of law, it seemed unnatural that a man of the prophet's age should remain unmarried. In this respect, Jeremiah resembles Jesus and Paul. This must have been a real deprivation to one of such vast affection. Surely no one was more qualified to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep than was Jeremiah. Well, I don't know how you measure a prophet's effectiveness. That was a problem Jeremiah had to struggle with. But I submit to you that as prophets go, Jeremiah was a rather effective minister. And Jeremiah was single. What about Paul? He appears not to have had any direct command from the Lord concerning his own marriage, and even claimed that he had a right to marry if he wanted to. To the Corinthians he wrote, "Do we not have the right to be accompanied by a wife, as the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?